In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll try to make this brief. Although Luther preached like 45 minutes. There were times in his ministry where he got so disgusted with his congregation he didn't preach. Different kind of preacher he was, indeed. Indeed. They liked their church just the way it was. I hope that's become kind of a familiar phrase. I've been showcasing it in my sermons for the whole month of October, including today. They liked their church just the way it was. Although we've been looking at Holy Week, the last week of our Savior's life, shows up to his church, God in flesh and blood, and they don't much like the way he's behaving as a rabbi, because they liked their church just the way it was. And they kicked the young pastor out. They got some trumped up charges, and they nailed him to a Roman cross. But in that very way, God was coming to our rescue, freeing us from the condemnation of God's law. Praise the Lord. No matter what they felt about their church, God didn't like the church the way they had it. And so God, in his Son Jesus, made the church the way God would want it to be. But let's fast forward 1,500 years. It's the same thing. They liked the church just the way it was. And it was spiritually killing Luther. He could never do it well enough. No matter how he tried, he could never confess it enough. He would go to Staupitz, his father confessor, and confess and receive forgiveness and then go back and then run back because he forgot something. The problem of the church that day, it was all law. And it was also the idea that if you did this, 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 and this, then you would earn God's attaboy. You would get God's attagirl. But you had to do it just right. We call that kind of theology legalism. Anytime we place a person's salvation and favor with God on their performance in a certain specific way, you do this, then you have God's favor, that's legalism. And what the Roman Catholic Church was doing at the time was just placing these gargantuan burdens on people's shoulders. And it was killing those sensitive to their own sinfulness like Luther. Until God started breaking through. Here's the truth about the church. No matter the time the church is in, the church gets stuck, the church struggles, and the church gets rescued. This is the way it works. And God is the hero every time. Praise the Lord. The last Luther would say if he was here today, it's about me. No way, it's all about Jesus. Like it always has been. The promise of the Messiah in the Old Testament, the proclamation of the gift of the Messiah in the New Testament. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about the Messiah. And for Luther, this light was turning on. As John said, as Luther studied Romans, he started realizing this righteousness of God is a gift bestowed, received alone by faith, apart from works of the law. It's simply taken by faith. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I believe. The highest form of worship is to simply take God at his word. And so Luther, as he grew in this confidence and this clear understanding of what God's Word says and how God's church is to be practicing God's Word, he put together points of concern that he wanted to debate and talk about with Eck. And he nailed them, the 95 theses or concerns. And that was 500 years ago on the 31st of this month. Happy 500th anniversary, St. Paul. I mean, maybe we should flash the lights or something. But it's really, and it's always been, about Jesus. And as I said moments ago, we do the Reformation best by living out Reformation every day, hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say to us, and then following the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us. You know, Luther, as he heard this good news in the New Testament, I mean, for us, it's almost mind-boggling to think that the Bible was a closed book, a hidden book, a book that was not shared. I mean, you and I in our homes, we probably have a number of Bibles. And they're in our language. So this world 500 years ago sounds so strange to us. But keep in mind that the church can struggle today just like it did long ago. As Luther heard the good news, he grew in a confidence. Maybe he looked like a bull in a china closet, but he loved the Lord. And he sought to serve the Lord. And certainly, his dedication to the Lord started driving people crazy who liked the church just the way it was. But his goal was never to start a church. In fact, he looked at the history of the Roman Western church and saw so many good things about it. Unlike some of the reformers that went into Roman Catholic church buildings and homogenized and pasteurized them. I mean, they would strip out everything and then whitewash it and call it the church. And Luther, he simply wanted to reform the ungodly practices of Holy Mother Church. But that was a long time ago. And this is more than just, yay, 500 years ago. Keep in mind, the church gets stuck, and the church struggles, and the church gets rescued. This is really what we celebrate every time we're here, because we're the church. You and I are the church. But I thought it would be fitting for us just to think from the scriptures, God's holy word, what God has revealed to us about the church across the ages. Think about it this way. It's rather interesting. In Adam and Eve's day, the church believed a lie, and then God promised the truth that one would come and crush the serpent's head. In Noah's day, the church was so reduced to the only 8 people were still in that church, and that church struggled, and God delivered that church. Even in the age of the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah were barren, and God promised that this Messiah who would come and rescue the world would come through them. Abraham struggled, so did Sarah. And yet, even in the time of the patriarchs, this promise of rescue that would free people of their bondage is the golden thread that weaves throughout the whole story of the Old Testament, through the nation of Israel and all the kings, through David. This promised rescuer and savior of the church would come, even in Jeremiah's day. It's amazing all the different ways the church can get stuck. In Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah was like a Luther. In fact, Jeremiah was really no different than Luther. Although in Jeremiah's day, the message was hardly accepted, and God had to work destruction upon the church that would not listen. In Jeremiah's day, it was a different thing. Instead of this legalism making people think that by their efforts they can earn God's favor, the church had become so careless and confident. They were like the spoiled child in the family syndrome. I can do anything and Dad will like me. They got to the point where they thought that they could be any kind of people they wanted to be and God would still embrace them because they were the chosen among the nations of the earth. We call it cheap grace. I can get away with this, this, and this, and I know I'm forgiven. That's just one of the many ways the church can get stuck. Even in our reading today, our gospel reading, Jesus is talking to religious people of his day that value synagogue worship and value the temple and the ceremonial system and the Levitical priesthood. And Jesus says to them, look, the Son of Man can make you free. And they say, well, we've never been in bondage. We're children of Abraham. It's like they don't even know their own history. You mean you don't remember Moses? You don't remember 430 years of bondage in Egypt? So not only can the church fall into the trap of legalism, not only can the church fall into the trap of like an antinomianism, a cheap grace, but the church can lose its spiritual memory. How many different ways can you and I get stuck? Because we're the church. How many ways do we play too close to the edge of temptation? How many ways do, when we feel bad, we think we have to somehow earn God's favor? Or how many ways do we just forget our identity as God's precious and holy children? Of course, the good news is who can come to the rescue no matter what's going on in your life and my life? Let me say it this way. Who has come to the rescue of you, dear church? You see, it's still all about Jesus. Like it's always been all about Jesus. Because Jesus loves his church. Long before Adam and Eve, long before Noah and the patriarchs, long before Saul and David and all the kings, long before the prophets, major and minor, long before John the Baptizer and the apostles, before the foundation of the world, you have been chosen by God in Christ. And that's the anchor that holds us fast, even when we find ourselves stuck and struggling. That's the anchor because of the cross. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. More than just a reformer of the church, Jesus is the Savior of the church. More than one who kind of pointed the church in various directions, Jesus is the true north of your life and my life. The church, living out our identity as church in real time, 24/7. You and I are God's favorites in Jesus, the one who laid down his life. I mean, think about it. Jesus came and he did everything perfectly for you and for me in our place. All the ways that we have fallen short, all the ways Jesus took our place on the cross. You know, the Christian faith is all about what has been done and is finished in the Son, and taking strength in that and falling on that, trusting in it, being renewed by it, knowing that if that was done for us, God can take us through whatever we face. I mean, think about it. Everything necessary for your place in God's kingdom is done. You know, if you're giving money to this congregation because you feel bad about your life, stop it. You already have God's favor. If you're serving on our behalf, if you're nominated and it's just going to be a guilt trip, you know how a guilt trip starts? I guess I will. You know how it ends? I'm sure glad that's over. Look, if you're on a guilt trip here, stop the madness and just stop. It's about serving in faith. It's about serving in love. It's about serving with hope, born of the gospel, born of your embrace by the Father and the Son, and sustained by nothing different. If you're struggling in your identity with the Lord, and you're thinking you can do certain things like they did back in Jeremiah's day, only to be forgiven, be still and know that God is God. And understand that Jesus loves you, and he wants more for you than that kind of life of compromise and giving in and giving up to the wrong places because the price has been paid. You're precious. And in Christ, you're free to live following him. If someplace in your life you just find yourself beating yourself up, you know, there's a comedian up in Minnesota, Garrison Keillor, who loves to make fun of Lutherans. Talks about how, you know, Lutherans, they get involved because they feel bad about their life. They do this and do that because they think they need God's favor. The first time I heard him, I thought, that's not Lutheran. To be Lutheran means to have a confidence in Christ, being free of all the peer pressure that just suffocates us. And then I got a little older and I started realizing, man, that peer pressure, it is suffocating. You know, it's still about Jesus and what he's done for us. And the whole goal of this sermon, like all the other sermons that are to be preached, the goal of hearing and studying Scripture is so that we can stand before God knowing that we're fully loved and we're freely forgiven and that God has nothing against us but actually wants to work in us and through us in his strength. And when we fall and fumble, we know that we can run into his arms and receive the hug we need and the strength that only he can give so that we can give it what we've got in the strength of the Son. You know, today we celebrate the 500th anniversary. But as it was last year and the year before that, it's all about Jesus. That's what it's always been about. And today it's about us. You and I as church, living in the freedom that Jesus gives to us every day. Living it out in and through the storms of life, trusting in his sacrifice, living it out through all the joys of life, trusting in his sacrifice, living it out wherever we are, trusting in his sacrifice, because that's what makes all the difference in your life and my life. Living in faith that says no to guilt trips and all the little temptations of the devil, and then falls into God's embrace when we do foul up. Faith and hope, trusting that he'll work through us. You know, I appreciate your opening comments, John, about how God has brought you, all of you, to this place, in this world, in this time, in this day. And God works through you. Oh, well, I'm no Luther. Of course you're not. You don't have to be. Give up on that guilt trip. And aim for more of who and what you are. Because you are God's masterpiece. God has written his gospel into you so that you can be who you are. To some, you'll be a plague, like Luther was. To others, they'll be so grateful that you have touched their life. Because you've been the real deal. You've been a sinner saint. You've been a godly man, a godly woman who simply wants to follow the Lord closer than the old days. It's about us. And as I've said a couple of times, we do Luther's memory best by looking to the Scriptures, considering Jesus' sacrifice, and then shaping our lives after God's own heart, according to his word of grace and guidance. You know, what will history say about St. Paul Lutheran Church? What, 36, 37 years old now? What will history say about you? May it be what we say today about 500 years of the Lutheran Reformation. It's still still, just, and all about, like nothing else, Jesus and what he's done that we could never do, and how he loves so that we're learning to love. It's about Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.